Some major office supply stores are closing their doors, but Walmart has low prices on supplies you need to keep your business running smoothly. Like 2 packs of Papermate ClearPoint mechanical pencils on rollback for $4.77, 400-count Post-it notes cube on rollback for $3.97, and 25-yard Scotch heavy-duty packaging tape dispenser for just $2.88. Plus, Walmart's got great prices on things like copy paper, printers, and more. For all your office supply needs, save money, live better. Walmart.
Hey, it's Andy Ruther of the Dirty Sports Podcast. I should be dead, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from Wolski's Tavern on Pulaski Street on the south side of Milwaukee.
Is it Polish, I'm guessing?
Wolski's on Pulaski Street? It's a little Polish. Just a little bit, Wolski's is famous, of course, here in Milwaukee, because everywhere you turn, you see, what do they call them? Bumper stickers.
Yeah.
Yes, I can't even, that's my version of social media. Bumper stickers. That's how
and
old I am.
What do they say? What do they,
say? I closed Wolski's. Because, you know, unlike other towns, the bar time in Milwaukee is like 3 a.m. And the bar will be full until 3 a.m.
And then it you want to leave there in drunk, smashed out of your mind, get in your car and have one of those stupid ass bumper stickers in your car. I mean, talk about
yeah, I closed Wolski's and it's covered in your own blood because you drove into a tree.
Yeah, and so then you don't think you're going to get pulled over?
By a cop who closed the cop's name is Wolski. His cousin owns the bar. What are you talking about?
Here's what's happening, you guys. We're coming from Wolski's because our guest tonight, Andy Ruther, he's a comedian, as you know, Hannes.
Yes.
And his topic is blacked out drunk.
Yes, something
blacked
that I have no no experience
never,
at all.
You've never been blacked out drunk.
No, I've have barely you, been drunk
have you,
ever.
Have you ever even been to that bar, Wolski's?
No.
See, that's what I'm saying. That I knew, I saw right through it as soon as you said we were coming from there.
We're here right now. It's theater of the mind.
You've never been a bar guy.
I'm not a bar guy.
So you would be perhaps in a Denny's that has beer. That's about the farthest you're going to get. Do you know what I mean?
That just sounds as disgusting as I've drunk beer in my life. I wouldn't fucking drink it at a Denny's. Good Lord.
No,
you don't drink beer in a Denny's unless you are already drunk when you get there.
I see.
No one has ever been like, you know, I'd like to get a buzz on here at Denny's. Give me some red, white, and blue pancakes and a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
A moon's over my hammy.
Moon's over my hammy and whatever.
I guess you're right.
And usually, a red, white, and blue.
Right. And in fact, you usually go to Denny's after you've been drinking, obviously.
Yes, exactly.
And so then you're having coffee, aren't you?
Yeah. So, right. I'm not the partying
tonight
type.
We're here, we're talking about being blacked out drunk. And I think to myself, have I been blacked out drunk? Well, sure. I don't know if I have because I would have been blacked out, wouldn't I?
Yeah, you were like, not that I remember. I was like, well, that's a good indication that perhaps that's happened. I don't know.
No, I think I've definitely had too much to drink and I've gotten sick. And that I used to be Maria Spertolozzi. I'm going to give Maria a little hint here. It used to be that I would, in fact, get sick from drinking about once a year. And every time I got sick from drinking, I said to myself, what are you doing to yourself? What are you, an idiot? What are you, 30 now, 35, 40 years old, and you're getting sick from drinking? You know, like, grow the fuck up. Now, it's about every 3 years. So I think...
Yeah, you've really matured, yes.
I've been maturing.
Also, your heart medication prevents you from... between your Lipitor and the everything.
Well, it's true, like, older people, when you hear them say, like, oh, I can't have a glass of wine, I'll fall asleep.
Yeah, you know who the most drugged up people in this country are? People over 80. They're taking, like, 1,000 pills a day. They don't even care. They're at the old age home, like spreading pills around. They're trading them. They're playing poker with them. They don't care.
Well, and my dad always had beers at lunch, always. And
your dad was a real American.
But in retirement, and I enjoy a beer at lunch. So, but my point is about getting
I enjoy lunch at lunch. That's my advice.
Looking into this. Now, Andy Ruther, this is a comedian, Hannes, who has a podcast called Dirty Sports Podcast. So it's sports and they're dirty. I mean, not the people playing
aren't
sports.
Most, but right. But you're the saying people, they're saying dirty things.
They're filthy boys.
So instead
are what
of,
they are.
Instead of, oh, the Chicago Bears suck, they say the Chicago Bears suck big, massive donkey cock. Caulk. Caulk, exactly. And by caulk, I mean the stuff that you put in between the layers of things on your house because you don't want the insulation to go bad.
Interesting. Well, listen, Andy
really
Ruther,
not interesting, no.
You know,
no.
He is kind of known as like a frat boy comic.
That's hard
I mean?
To believe as he sits here in his Waffle House shirt. Playing with his balls. It's really hard to believe that he would be considered
so jealous of youth and exuberance and promise and hope.
I'm not jealous. I just disgust me.
And you exude those qualities of confidence.
Actually, he does have something to jealous of, which is that shirt. A Waffle House shirt. That's pretty good.
That's good.
Waffle
get the
House,
chicks.
That's a quality
that
shirt
the
right
chicks.
There. Drunk chicks, but those are the best kind.
So anyway, I think this whole thing with the frats and everything, that is where we're talking about binge drinking, trying to get drunk quickly. And I was thinking about blacked out drunk. I was reading a little bit about it, and they were saying that it happens more when you drink quickly with not a lot in your stomach. It's not like the person who starts drinking beer at noon to start watching football, and they drink from noon till 9 p.m., although they
well,
can drink
the person
an absurd
watching free football
of,
games is in this. He doesn't have to drink. He's just going to have a glazed look in his eye, no matter what.
But they have an absurd amount of alcohol in their system.
Yeah.
But that's not like the blacked out drunk that we're talking about. We're talking about when you get blacked out and you could wake up in jail or in the hospital or you don't even know where you're waking up.
Yeah.
I mean, you lose your memory. It's sort of an amnesia.
That's not something that I. I don't know. What's the word? Respect very much. Because with all the mental illness in my family, people who are deliberately making themselves mentally ill, it's like, it's going to roast me the wrong way. Now, excuse me while I eat this entire pie and press
now,
my
listen,
feelings down.
I'm going to read this to you. Blacked out drunk. It's causing a complete inability to recall the past. Blackouts can be caused by any substance, but are most frequently associated with drugs.
Put down the Jack Daniels while you're trying to spell the things.
Blackouts. Listen, here's the thing. Blackouts are frequent. We're talking about alcohol-related blackouts. They're frequently described as having effects similar to that of amnesia, in which the subject cannot recall any events after the event that caused amnesia. Blacking out is not to be confused with the mutually exclusive act of passing out, Maria, which means loss of consciousness. So we're not talking about passing out. We're talking about passing out, you can't remember things.
In passing out, you remember hitting the floor.
Right.
And then you wake up and you're like, I'm on the floor, which makes sense because the last thing I remember is seeing the floor coming toward my face.
Right.
This is like the last thing I remember is I'm having a great time and now I'm in Calcutta. How did I pass through customs in this
state? C-words are always funny, as you know, Andy. Blackouts are reported
good Lord.
Doing
women.
If you black out,
it's the K sound, not the C sound. Oh my Lord.
See you next Tuesday. Wait.
Yeah, we should do a production of the Sunshine Boys. That would be awesome. You and me and Maria can play the young, the nephew / niece, depending on which version you're looking at.
Here are some of the things that can happen when you're blacked out. Okay, listen closely.
Yes.
You can be spending an excess of money. There can be fighting, vandalism, unprotected intercourse.
Finally, you buried the lead. That's what I'm looking for.
Driving a car. And I think most importantly, the most scary thing is if you get blacked out, you could die. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I think to myself, like, here's what I was thinking about. I was reading about a couple years ago, some kid who got completely wasted drunk at Hollywood and Highland and was on at that restaurant bar at the top of Hollywood and Highland. And then he and his friends are going down the escalators to get to the parking garage. He fucking tries to ride down an escalator and falls like 6 stories to his death right in the middle of the goddamn Hollywood Nile. Like, I just
sorry, I don't mean to laugh,
like,
but that's just thinning the herd.
There you go. 21 years old.
Yeah, that guy was not going to build a rocket.
I don't know.
That guy was not going to become president.
I don't know.
That guy was going to.
A lot of people.
That guy was going to drive his car
have
into
this sort of
alcoholic
or you know, this kind of a background and come out of it. I mean, and you know,
well,
maybe,
it's possible.
A wake up call,
right.
as it were.
But
I don't know.
What was it that you told me once when you were in college I think you told this on the air. I know you told it on the air. You were partying with a guy who was heir to the Bacardi fortune.
Juan Bacardi Jr. That's
Juan Bacardi
right.
Jr.
Yeah, that's
and
exactly
so
right.
You guys were having free Bacardi, and then you decided to impress people.
No, I wasn't trying. No.
Why
no,
did
no,
you
no,
throw
no,
the
no,
bottle
no,
out the sixth floor
busted.
Window?
This because is because we got the because we got busted because knock knock knock. It was the Pittsburgh police at the door.
So you thought the best way to not draw attention to it is by throwing the bottle out the sixth floor window
in front of them. They opened the door. They're standing there, and they said, "Is there a party going on in this room? Where's the alcohol?" And I'm holding the bottle, and I said, "This bottle, this is not, there's no bottle here." And I threw it, and it was like 12 stories down. That's smart. I could have killed a man easily.
Yeah, easily.
I got suspended, but I didn't black out. I recall. I think I was more of a. Anyway,
That was you. That was before you started doing stand up. But you're like. That was just you. That was prop comedy. Basically, you were like, I need to get a laugh here. That's I feel uncomfortable.
Well, listen,
and by the way, when a cop comes in the 80s and goes, is there a party going on in here? You start the song. It's a party going on.
Oh, yeah, this really? Is upsetting.
Is it upsetting?
Isn't it? All right, you guys. So Andy Ruther's got a story coming up, and I look forward to that. But before we bring our guest on, I did want to remind everybody that if you'd like to support Storyworthy, you can go to storyworthypodcast.com. Do you know I've been working on that website, Hannes?
Yes, yes.
You've been working on
it. It's like the Lego movie. There's little people inside and they're building things. It's fantastic.
Anyway, there's different ways you can do things on there. We appreciate that.
For instance, you want to give somebody perhaps a birthday gift, a gift of some kind. You go to Amazon.com, but you go to Amazon.com through the banner ad on our website.
They know this.
Hey, don't assume. If you assume that they know it, make an ass out of
you and me. Here's what you can do for us today, folks. Go ahead and share us on the social media. That'd be great.
Tell people.
Yeah, tell the folks on Facebook or over on the Twitter at Storyworthy.
Yeah,
follow
consider
us there.
Going to, clicking on our Patreon ad, going to our Patreon.
Oh, that's nice. That's a fun thing.
Page and giving
maybe
us two, three,
fun.
Four, $5 a month. People are doing it now.
People are doing it
against all odds. People are giving us money.
We've got like 7 subscribers now, and I'm really happy about that. It's kind of like helping us out with ongoing support. That's what it is.
And we have been able to upgrade to a much better class of cocaine because of your support.
That's
we
exactly
appreciate
right.
that.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, stick around because Andy Ruther is on his way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have writer-comedian Adam Spiegelman.
I'm going to talk about the greatest prank I ever played.
That's next time on Storyworthy.
Hey, Hannes, my new book, Pit to LAX, My Storyworthy Life, is coming out March 25th.
Yes, and I have seen the pre-copy, or what is that called?
The proof.
It's fabulous. It looks gorgeous. Of course, designed by Carolyn Brunetto. It looks fantastic. It's a real book. It's got pages and words on it.
Thanks very much. And it's actually, I'm getting a lot of positive feedback about the book, and it makes me feel really good because I thought at first, like, I didn't have a story about coming to Los Angeles, but that is the story because there are so many people sitting in their hometown.
There's a bunch of stories
that
yeah.
want to come to Los Angeles and they don't do it.
And they don't have to have come to Los Angeles. They just need to have gone somewhere else.
Yeah.
They
in other words, breaking out of your comfort zone and pushing forward and being optimistic and trying your best. So head on over to storyworthymedia.com and you can pre-order the book right now. It's only $10, $3 shipping and handling. I will personally sign it for you. And the first 100 people that buy the book get a free gift. How about that?
Wow. Is it a sext?
I'm not going to tell you what the gift is.
Okay, fine.
Hey, it's Erica Rhodes, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We have left the south side of Milwaukee. We have taken a cab because we're all drunk, and we're now at Hooligans on the east side of Milwaukee. And you know what? We're drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon, but we're drinking it unironically. Because we're in Milwaukee, and we don't drink ironic Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I drink Pabst Blue Ribbon at IO West all the time. At IO West,
I know,
the
but the reason they have it at Hollywood at IO West, it's become a hipster drink, which is bullshit because it's one of the shittiest beers on the face
of
the
earth.
You
know what? I don't mind it at all. I enjoy it. It's light. It's bubbly. It's got a lot of carbonation.
You're from Pittsburgh, and you grew up drinking Iron City beer.
Right.
Which is like urine flavored with iron. So,
you know, I don't know why you always have to take it downtown. You know what I mean? Like with the beer. Like, let it go. You know what I mean? So you're from Milwaukee. I mean, like, I get, what was it, Budweiser then? Is that, that was?
Budweiser.
Okay.
I'll walk out this door.
Miller?
Who Miller.
Was? Miller,
as
course.
In Miller Light, baby, the world's greatest light
I
beer.
I don't know.
Bob Uecker, baby. Bob Uecker. Pittsburgh Pirates suck ass. Right. Brewers. Go Brewers. Aren't our whole, our fucking baseball team is named after people making beer.
All right. You can talk to Andy Reuther. You and you guys can share your sports stories together. I'll watch.
Go Packers. Go,
all right,
go,
you guys.
Go Packers.
Andy Reuther is here right now. He's a comedian, and he travels across the country performing primarily, Hannes, like I said, at frat houses.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
I mean, especially if it's like a nooner. That would be really hard if there's not drinking. There's probably always drinking.
Yeah, I think you can count on if you need the audience to be drunk, that is the place to go because they will already be drunk.
Andy's also the co-founder and editor of DirtySports.com, and he can be heard on that show every week at DirtySportsPodcast.com.
Dirty Sports Podcast, which I believe is done right here at the Sideshow
Network. It is, actually. It's a Sideshow Network podcast. That's great. And you could also find Andy on Twitter at Andy Ruth. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Andy Reuther.
So ever since I can remember, I always liked to just party with booze. And I didn't start that young. I probably didn't really start drinking hard till I was probably 17 or 18. But I always liked being the life of the party. Now, I didn't always need the booze to be the life of the party, but I loved to just binge drink. I was that idiot who'd be like, dude, let's get a fucking round of shots. Let's fucking slam those, and we'll do another round of shots. So I was kind of always a jackass in college, even though I went to a private Catholic college, and I went to St. Louis University, and I was in a frat there, and that's kind of when I started just being the complete jackass that I was, where I would just get completely ripped and blacked out, and I didn't care. So looking back on it, I definitely had a problem with binge drinking because there were just telltale signs, little things like the night I came home hammered and tried to cook a hot dog in the dorm dryer. I literally put in 75 cents and was like, yeah, this will heat up. I'll eat this. And the next day, my friends were like, dude, you tried to cook a fucking hot dog in the dryer, you retard. So I was always doing stuff like that. And then there'd be little things that would... that essentially led up to my main story, such as I got really drunk my freshman year of college, and I thought I went to my brother's apartment. But instead, I passed out in a random girl's apartment, which I thought was his room. She called the St. Louis PD. Cops arrest me. It was two black cops, too, calling me Whitey and Cracker, and I was horrified. They pulled out my license. These guys were not smart, though, either, because I had my fake ID in there, and I was trying to play off that I was my fake ID. And I had the whole thing memorized to where they couldn't, they asking me my name, my social security. I knew this guy's identification. It was just a huge mess. Essentially, I was within minutes of going to jail for trespassing, which in the state of Missouri is a felony as a freshman in college. My brother somehow got me out of it, went over to the girls, like, my brother's about to be arrested. You know, he passed out. He didn't do anything to you. He literally passed out. He thought it was your room. So that was kind of the first sign that, like, dude, maybe you should just back off on the binge drinking. And then a couple years later, I took my dad's car and I was home for a break. I was in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I thought after drinking all day, I thought it would be a good idea to take his car and go to White Castle. Except I was so blacked out, I veered off the road, ran over a fire hydrant. Water is shooting out the car like an old geyser. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to walk home, leave the scene of a crime. By the time I get there, cops are ready to arrest me. Another sign, hey, maybe you should back off on the binge drinking. Woken up on so many random spots, whether it was I've been looping on a subway. I studied abroad in Madrid, whether it was just, wow, I've been on the subway for 6 hours, just blacked out sleeping. Random sidewalks next to random girls being like, did we have sex last night? Just no memory. But it all came to its head on April 5th of 2014, and I'll never forget the date just because it changed my life. So I was drinking all day. There were sports on. It was the Final Four, actually, and I was drinking with my buddy. We were at a Wisconsin bar. It was Wisconsin versus Kentucky, and we went drinking, and I the thing about me is I've always pretty much just stuck to the booze. I mean, I used to smoke weed a decent amount, but you know, I don't really think that's that bad. I never have even tried cocaine. I've never done anything serious. I just always liked to drink. That was always my drug, I guess. And that day we were drinking and then we left. We were going to Eric Andre, who's a comedian. He has his own show on Adult Swim now. So like he's getting pretty big. He's having this crazy birthday party, like insane. Like he literally has live animals, like camels, and just this huge rented out party. So we're going to the party and we arrive at probably 11 o'clock that night. Now I'd been drinking beer all day, probably for the last 6 or 7 hours, but I wasn't slamming beer. Like I was definitely drunk, but I remember everything to this point. I was, you know, just drinking beer, watching sports. And, we get to the party, we get in, and I didn't know a lot of the comics there. And I told my buddy before we got there, and he'd been doing cocaine with a bunch of his friends all night. I'm like, just don't ditch me. Like, cause it's a lot of bigger name comics that I don't know. I was like, don't just leave me. And he left me the minute we got there. He's like, dude, let's go do drugs. So I was kind of left by myself, which is fine. I'm pretty personable and social, so it wasn't a big deal. But the problem is when I'm by myself, I'm going to start drinking quicker and harder. So next thing you know, I took it up to liquor because they, you know, I didn't even see beer there. So I'm at the bar. So I've been drinking beer all day. Never go from beer to liquor. So the last thing that I remember was being on, it was a huge place rented out. There was like two different dance floors. I remember looking on the dance floor and just kind of watching everybody. That's the last thing I remember. And then I came to the next morning at about 7 a.m. miles from the party. There was blood coming out my left ear. My hoodie was all covered in blood. And I had no clue what happened. Now, the thing is, I have woken up in so many random spots. I didn't think too much of it. My head didn't hurt. I had maybe just a normal hangover. And even though there was blood coming out my ear, I was like, you know what? You must've just fallen or something. You know, there was blood on the hoodie, but I was like, you know, whatever, just tough it out. So I get in a cab. My phone is not on me, which then I, at that point, remembered, shit, you did plug it in because I had a charger on me to charge it. Well, that phone's gone. So I hop in a cab. I go back to Venice where I live. Go home, shower, same thing. No effects in my head. I don't feel anything. I sleep it off for like 5 or 6 hours. I go over to my friend's place. He sees me with his girlfriend and I tell them what he's like, what happened to you? And I explain and they're like, should you go to ER? And they're like, you look fine. I was like, well, I had blood coming out of my ear, but they're, you know, it cleaned out right away the minute I got out of the shower. So he's looking at me, his girlfriend's looking at me and they're like, yeah, you look fine. And I have insurance, but it's shitty HMO insurance. Obamacare has done nothing to help shit. So anyway, that's a whole other topic. But so I don't think anything of it. I have a normal hangover. And at this point, I'm literally bleeding out my brain and I have no clue. I'm like a walking time bomb to die. So the next day, same thing happens. I'm like, you know what? I'll go see a doctor in urgent care in Santa Monica. So I go to the doctor in Santa Monica because I don't feel like paying the $200 copay for the ER. But I'm figuring he should be able to evaluate me. So he looks at me. I explain the whole story to him. He says, okay, you have an ear infection. You need to see a doctor for a CAT scan for that. He has no mention of there could be possible brain damage. So that's on a Monday, and with my insurance, I couldn't even go to get the CAT scan because I need a referral from my own physician, you know, all the health insurance bullshit, which is so obnoxious. So I couldn't see my own doctor till Wednesday. Remember, I woke up Sunday morning. So the next day is a Tuesday. About an hour before I had a show that night to perform, the entire left side of my face stopped moving. I couldn't move my eye. I couldn't move the left side of my mouth. I just couldn't move it. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I didn't think anything of it. I go to the show and I hang around a lot of ball busting comedians. A lot of my friends are mostly East Coast guys. You know, we kind of have the whole mentality of nothing's ever too soon. Nothing's off limits. Like, we'll go there. So my friends are just drilling me before the show. They're like, dude, what, do you have a fucking stroke? You can't even move half your face. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. And at the time, I thought the doctor the day before me, he gave me meds and it said side effect can cause numbness. I thought it just numbed because the side of where I was injured was the side that was numb. So I just assumed that that's why I was numb. And I was completely wrong. So the next day I go see my doctor, and the minute I see him, he's like, you need to go to the ER right away. So I go to the ER. So this is Wednesday at this point. So it's about 3 days after I'd woken up, and right away they're like, we need to get this guy an MRI. He's, you know, he's had a serious brain injury, and they're shoving an IV in him. I had no clue. I'm like, brain injury? I thought I just had an ear infection. And, It changed my life within a matter of minutes. It was the scariest thing ever. And I didn't understand. And they're saying, you fractured your skull and, you know, you suffered damage. Essentially, I pinched the nerves in the back of my, what happened was I fell. I'm assuming I fell. I'll still never know. I'm assuming I fell because they're, you know, I had my wallet on me. I don't think I was mugged or anything. When I fell, I fractured the back part of my skull, which pinched two nerves, which then essentially cut off all the movement in the left side of my face. Now, I was diagnosed with something called Bell's palsy, which is normally can happen to somebody. It's like a complication of pregnancy, or it's like a, you can get it through a virus. But my the way it happened to me was completely random. Like the neurologist, like I've never seen in all my years from an injury. So essentially, I didn't know what was going on, and I started crying and I was freaking out, and I'm sitting in the ER and you just feel helpless. And I called my mom back in Cincinnati, and I'm like, she had no clue of any of this stuff. I'm like, mom, I had a brain injury and I'm in the hospital. And she's like, what the hell is going on? I'm like, I don't know. And so they say, you know, you're going to be here a few days, and they had to give me IVs. Essentially what happens when you have a brain injury is they just have to reduce the swelling. So, you know, so I had all these drugs in me, and I was, you know, in the hospital, and I woke up the next day, and my mom's like, I'm booking a, you know, she's like, I already booked a flight. I'll see you today. And it was really tough because when the doctor came in after they had evaluated my MR and everything, the first word she said to me, which obviously I'll never forget, is she goes, you're lucky to be alive. You should be dead. Not only just from the fall, but from the fact that I didn't get treated for a few days. Essentially, that's kind of what happened to Liam Neeson's wife. She hit her head. I don't know if anybody knows this. She hit her head, and when she was skiing, and it was the same thing. She didn't think anything of it. There was no noticeable signs, and she's just walking around for a few days and then died. That's kind of, I was a walking, ticking time bomb to die. So I was in the hospital for a few days, and then I had to get on anti-seizure medication because they're worried that I could have a seizure, and it changed my life. So I had to go through physical therapy. I had to relearn how to use my face because I couldn't even close my eye for weeks, and I had to wear an eye patch, which was kind of cool because I love pirates. But yeah, it was just a life-changing experience that I still say was the best thing to happen to me. I haven't had a drink since, and alcohol can cause seizures. You know, the doctors have told me you can drink, just don't binge drink. But my whole thing was I'm going to take at least a year off from drinking because at minimum. But if I ever do drink again, I'll never binge drink. I don't have a desire because I should be dead. So at this point, that's where I am. I'm happy to be here telling my ridiculously insane story.
Listen, I am so excited that you're not drinking. That's fucking
yeah,
weird,
that's
man.
Your doctor's, oh, you can drink. What the fuck kind of doctor is this? He's like, listen, you're obviously at the very least of alcoholic tendencies. You almost killed yourself. Give it a couple of weeks and then just, you know,
just
have a Zima.
So
you'll be fine.
I didn't know that was coming.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you're not drinking anymore. And that's very, yeah, because,
well, it's
Jesus.
It's weird because it's, like I said, I've always been the same person. I've never needed it. I never drank really before I performed,
right?
Even before the injury, because you know I'm gonna suck on stage if I'm drunk.
Right.
I'm way
it's
better.
Too hard. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm way better sober. So yeah, it just, I mean, it changed the way I looked at it. Is I always joke with my friends. I had a good run from like 18 to 32 of just out of control.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think about it now. My oldest brother is I have four brothers. He's an alcoholic. Like okay. He had to stop. And he'll be 40.
So if this happened to him, he wouldn't stop drinking.
Well, it's weird because I actually got into a big argument with my mom last week because I wouldn't have ever classified myself as an alcoholic. I said what he had was a lot different, where I would literally, even before the injury, I would a lot of times go weeks, sometimes months without drinking. But when I did drink,
binge drinking, yeah.
I would just binge. But at the same token, there were just as many instances where I wouldn't binge drink. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
For as many nights as I did binge drink, there were as many nights as I had one or two beers.
So do you think part of this is, you know, because I'm from Pittsburgh and you're growing up in Cincinnati, five boys, Catholic school. I was five girls, Catholic school.
Oh, wow.
So I also had a boy in my family as well. So six of us, but five. So I know
I know the big Catholic
Catholics
family.
Hate condoms, don't they?
Well, they first of all, birth control, like
is against
birth
the Catholic control, Church.
Well, no, it didn't even become FDA approved until 1966. And so they weren't using the birth control.
Sure.
Nobody, they didn't know. I mean the pill.
Every sperm is sacred.
And so until the pill became
Monty Python, nobody
okay. popular, you know, it was kind of hit and miss, I guess. Anyway, so listen, I had that Bell's palsy thing when I was pregnant.
I was
going to
say,
that.
Yeah.
Oh, so you,
I've
wow.
gone through that, and that's a okay. horrible thing. And I was playing tennis, even though I was like 9 months pregnant, we were hitting the ball back and forth, just lightly.
Yeah, and every time somebody would hit an ace, she'd be like, really? I'm 9 months pregnant.
Yeah, but my husband said to me, he goes, why are you drooling out of the side of your face?
Yeah, that's a complication of it, the drooling.
He was like laughing at me. He's like, you're drooling, laughing. And I'm like, what? And I
actually,
had that exact complication. That's very scary.
So how long, I'm curious, so how long did that last for you?
It lasted a long time, probably 5 months.
Okay.
It really stayed around a long time. All my early pregnant pictures, with the baby at home, my face is all tweaked.
Yeah.
It was very upsetting because it was, you know, to think that perhaps it doesn't go back.
Sure. Well, that, yeah.
Your fucking life would change. Talk about change. You know, it would be...
Yeah, when you're a performer, especially, you're like, oh, this is not going to be good for commercial work.
Yeah, I don't mean to be.
That was my thing.
Merge is fantastic. Saying that.
Yeah, I was like, my the only role I can get is retarded pirate. If this doesn't change.
But tell me, I'm back to the question about: do you think part of it is growing up in Cincinnati and that whole mentality? Football, sports, drinking. It's just kind of what people did.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. Like, you can relate in Pittsburgh. It's and in the same way for Milwaukee.
People drink. Like, I think I don't drink just because everyone in the city seemed to be drinking at every moment around me. Yeah, in the Midwest, people just drink all the time and they don't think about it.
I would say it's like a blue-collar town sort of thing. You know, all three of those are blue collared cities. Those are all three of those cities are very Catholic. It's just kind of the way people were brought up. I know, like, you know, Cincinnati is a very German town. Like, my dad's like 100% German American, and I'm mostly German. And then I went to school in St. Louis, and St. Louis is the same way, you know,
with
Anheuser-Busch. And it's the amount of people that do it that, like, dude, you drink too much. Really is just kind of ignored, I would say.
Yeah.
It's just part of the culture.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So it's kind of like where we're from. But now that you've taken all this time off and it's been 7 months, 8 months that you haven't had any alcohol in your and you look great. I mean, you look fantastic. There's no sign of
Jesus,
the Bell's
get a
palsy.
Room.
No, I'm just saying though, like, do you think I don't mean to break it down to this, but do you think you have a message for younger people?
Well, I wouldn't. Here's the thing. I'll say this. I went to Catholic schools my whole entire life. So my parents are very conservative, like Republican Catholics. I don't know how I feel about all that religious stuff, to be honest. But when this happened, it was like a spiritual epiphany for me, kind of. Hmm. It was like I was kept alive. The way I look at it is I was kept alive for a reason. Like, I believe in God. And I'll say this, that when you hear, and it wasn't just him, when I saw my neurologist after I got out of the hospital, it's the first thing he said to me. He's looking over my charts. When you have multiple doctors say you should be dead,
yeah,
like, that's fucked up.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Like, you're like, wow, like, that's some powerful stuff. So for me as a comedian, it just made me refocus on, I always kind of push the envelope with my comedy, and I like it edgy, and I'm a big fan of, like, Dave Chappelle and, you know, Daniel Tosh and, like, those sort of comedians. So my whole thing was, like, I kind of already didn't give a fuck. I want to really push it that much farther.
Yeah.
Now, as far as, like, a message, I think it's just motivated me just to not, it makes you care about the important things in life and then not care about the things that are more trivial, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right. Speaking of a spiritual message, so how long ago did you tell your listeners to send dick pics to our mutual producer, Maria? When did that
come? I
because you have the Dirty Sports Podcast here at Sideshow Network.
Correct.
And so we record with the same sound engineer, Maria Spertolozzi.
Yes.
And you have a campaign going for boys or men? I guess people.
Men.
Men
in quotes.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's loosely use the word men. Well, I made the joke. We came over here about a little over a month ago, and I made the joke initially about sending her dick pics. And everything kind of got reamped.
Yeah.
We started something called the Dirtball Rankings. We rate our top fans. Our fans are like fanatics with the, like, they'll bring signs, inappropriate signs to sports games. If we ask them to do something, they do it. Which is kind of awesome. You know, I can just brainwash the youth of America. But if they started doing that, I'd say like in the last few weeks. But the good thing is, like, Maria doesn't put up with shit. Okay. So she'll just go back at
it. How many so far?
I think just one. And then there was an inappropriate hand drawn picture.
Oh, yeah. That was the worst.
Was the tipping point.
Wait a minute. How can the hand drawn picture be worse? What's happening in the hand drawn picture? I'm sorry. I'm fascinated by this.
So it's a picture of Andy and his co-host Joe and me sitting at the same table, which doesn't happen because I sit at a different table. But anyway.
On a big giant inflatable ball, by the way, because it's good for your back.
Yeah, right. It's good for your core. Under the table, I'm arms are surprisingly.
She's jerking us off. I can just say it, Maria. It's all right.
Yeah, I think we passed the point where you have to be euphemistic about this.
What's it like being in the age of, because I'm really old now. So what's it like being in the age, like fraternity kids in college with social media, with Snapchat pictures, cameras?
It's fun. I'm actually not that young either. I'm actually 32 now.
No, I understand. But that was still there 10 years ago.
You're our conduit to the youth.
I'll say this. That's kind of what I do.
Because you're out there in that world.
I'm in that world, and I run Dirty Sports. I actually run 10 big Twitter feeds. I've accessed like a million
followers. And they're all now following Storyworthy, at Storyworthy.
Well, they should be, of course.
They certainly should be, because they would love to hear my thoughts. I'm sorry. I fell asleep for a second there.
Now, here's the deal with the younger generation that I just joke about.
Yeah.
They're so... With social media and with Snapchat, they don't know how to talk to anybody. So, like, I always joke, all these kids are nudes, send me a nude, send me a nude. Like, I tweeted out a few months ago. I was like, hey, tip for all my young followers. If I want to fuck a girl, I don't ask her for nudes. I say, come on over, I'm going to fuck you.
I really was born much too early. I should be in this generation, I'm telling you. No, wow, exactly, that's direct. Right.
No, it's funny because in a way, because I work with I work at a theme park, and it's like everybody's younger than me, and it's like they won't communicate any actual emotion in person.
Exactly.
But on their Facebook and their Twitter, it's like they're just revealing
out.
Ridiculous things about themselves that I shouldn't know. And it's like also, and you know, and if one person does this, and like it's all very unspecific, except if you were part of it, you would know who you are. And it's all like, I'm looking at it like, I don't give a fuck.
Well, that's
three people could possibly care about this post. Why is this going around the world?
And they're all, everyone's a tough guy, a keyboard warrior, as they say.
Oh yeah, I hate that. Well, we get that shit here.
I was gonna say, I mean, I'm sure you see it all the time. Like for a while, before I came to Sideshow, all these kids who would talk a big game, I'd say to them, which we could still do here. It'd actually be way even easier here now that we're in a studio, is they would talk shit to me. And I'd say, you want to talk shit to me? Call it on my podcast. Say it to my face.
Yeah.
Even though we're not directly face to face, you're some little bitch ass kid. Say to my face that you think I suck at comedy and how I'm terrible. Because when we would bring them on, they'd be so much nicer.
They can't do it.
Because my whole thing is.
What do they call them? Trolls, internet trolls, like people who write nasty shit. People write reviews, you know, they're like, and start where they're like, you guys are, why do you guys talk so much at the beginning of the show? Because we just want to hear the guests. It's like, first of all, moron, the whole point of the podcast is if you don't want to listen to us talk, feel free to skip ahead to the guests. Second of all, what are we doing this for, our fucking health? We have egos. We want to hear our voice. The guest is something we tolerate so that we can talk.
Okay, so let me ask you something. I have to ask you something. First of all, I want to know about looping on a subway. What does that mean exactly?
It means
You never got off.
Well, no, right? It means I lived in Madrid for a semester in college, and I'd get so fucked up. Madrid's awesome. Great.
My niece went there for a semester as well.
Talk about like the bars don't close. Madrid is just party like capital Western Europe. So essentially, we would drink until we go to the bars or the clubs. The Subways would close at about 1 and they reopen at 6. We'd usually get on about 6. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'd hop on. I think they had, when I was living there, they had 11 different Subway lines. One of them went in a circle and it'd be pretty.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay.
That's why I was like, I'm literally looping in a circle.
Yeah.
I'd wake up 5 or 6 hours later, like in my clothes from the night before. I'd walk in because I lived with the host family and my host mother would just shake her head. It's like noon. My hair is going every which way. And I'm like, I'm in like nightclub clothes from the night before. And my friends are like, dude, what happened to you? And I'm like, dude, I just, because the thing is about me, I don't get angry when I drink. I never got angry. I was never a hostile guy. I was always the lovable guy, but I always had a problem wondering too.
Yeah.
Like I would just wander off. Well, I don't,
like the fact that you got into that car totally smashed and were going down to the store or whatever, and then you hit that fire hydrant.
White Castle.
You went to White Castle, and then you hit that fire hydrant. Like, how was that not a red flag for you? And binge drinking.
Yeah, and how? Yeah, it's like you avoided jail on these. It's
your
amazing.
Parents didn't say, "Hey, well, man."
Thank you to my Jew lawyer, Jack Rubenstein. You saved me on that.
No, but I mean, it's like, hey, Andy, maybe you got a problem.
Well, my parents, yeah, they've always been worried about me, for sure. And it didn't help that I founded a company that performed at fraternities,
right?
Because you do the show, and obviously they just want to get
all they want to do is drink with you.
Oh my God, it's gonna fucking make me laugh. Give them some shots.
Right.
So
doesn't that get old? Does that get old?
Yeah, well, it started to get old even before the injury happened because I mean you mature a little, like.
Yeah, I would think.
I have an idea for a performance art piece that you can do. I want you to now go into fraternities and dead serious, just lecture them about the evils of drinking for an hour and a half. Tell them, hey, I should be dead. I want you to be the most boring, straight-laced guy, and we'll start handing out Bibles. Just
that should be
fuck
your your tagline,
awesome.
Though. I should be dead. Andy Ruther, I should be dead.
Yeah, it's
at I should be dead.
But you know what's crazy? When I was in the hospital, the thing that really made me like laugh and put me in the best mood is that I know this is going to sound weird. I feel like I have a connection with my Twitter followers. To this day, I've never posted on, I hate Facebook. I've never posted on Facebook. Pretty much, I never told anybody about my injury. A lot of comedians, some of my good friends actually were very nice and complimentary. They're like, you could have used this to get more gigs.
Well, I have it written right here. Did you get a lot of sympathy from girls?
I did start learning about the sympathy pussy. Like that was a whole, that was a whole other thing. But let me just say this real quick. When I was in the hospital and I took a few funny selfies where like my face is all messed up and I'm brain injury, the amount of mean comments that they would send me, like, look at this fucking retard. You have to wear a helmet when you eat. But they know that I enjoy that. Like I'm weird. I get off on the hate. Like I love retweeting the hate.
Yeah.
But like those things to me, when I look back, put a smile on my face because I'm sitting in the hospital. I don't know where my life's going, and some 15-year-old kid who's clearly a fan is like, oh my God, you're a retard. Like that makes,
I think, no, I hear you,
that makes me laugh.
Social. See, you're a social person, so it would only make sense that you translate into the social world, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Social media world.
Like I grew up with four brothers, and my mom, I'm the second youngest. My mom always told me that I had thicker skin than anybody in the family, which is interesting because I'm not the youngest. She's like, you got into comedy. They've been ribbing you for years. Like, I'm the only one who's not married. My brothers always call me gay to this day. Like, it's a very Midwest, like,
I got it.
Macho.
I grew up, same thing.
You know, so it's, for me, I can really take it, but I can dish a lot too.
What is your younger brother doing, the younger one?
He went to the Air Force Academy.
Oh, wow.
He just got out. And my other brother went to West Point. Like, there's a lot of military in my family. He just got out of the military, but he's going to be a dentist. So.
Do you like guns?
No.
He's going to be a military dentist.
Yeah.
That's
hey, man.
Right, open your mouth.
Hey, man.
Open it.
Hey, everybody has to take care of their teeth.
I've only shot a gun once in my life.
Okay. Interesting. And now let me ask you this. When you were cooking the hot dogs in the dryer, it didn't
like
work
once.
At all, or?
No, I mean, I don't remember. Again, I was blacked out. Like, I was the guy, like, I'd pee in washing machines. I would do stuff like Jackass type stuff before Jackass was even
around. I can't believe, see, you should be dead, not from this thing that finally culminated into your brain injury. You should be dead from so many other things as well.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also weird. I just realized that, like, you came home to your house mother, whatever you called her, in Madrid. It's like she was probably like, yeah, like she looked at you and thought, oh, you've been out partying and have unprotected sex with girls at the time. And you apparently would just go out and sleep on public transportation. It's like you came home. People must have been like making up stories like, I can't believe what this guy did. You didn't do anything. You just
you are just going around a loop.
I got a nice nap going around the grid. It was fantastic.
You know what's funny? She pulled me aside a month into my stay. And in Spanish, was telling me I had a drinking problem. And I told her back in Spanish, no, no, that's what we do in America. We binge drink in college. Like, that was my response. Like, this is what we do.
Wow, that's
funny,
Andy.
You're making me think
of... It's interesting and it's sad, but it's also inspiring because it sounds like it's mostly behind you.
But I'll say this. That's where I've gotten so much comedy and so much... Like, I want to write... I've actually written, like, 20 stories out. I want to write a book because I have so many ridiculous stories... that my thing is I want to be able to laugh about it. It's not glamorizing it, but that's how I've been. The problem with me is I blacked out easily. My friends would be drinking just as much as me, but I've always just blacked out easily.
I read somewhere that could be from being in the womb, a prenatal thing. If the mother of the baby drank a lot in the early stages of gestation, it could
turn on the mom.
I'm saying looks like Joanne Ruther's getting a call today.
No, I'm just saying that could be one of the factors. I'm just saying because it doesn't mean everybody binge drinks. It's a very specific person.
Yeah,
it's
blacking
a specific
out is
mentality.
Actually pretty specific.
Yeah, right? It's not
like you black out all the time.
Yeah,
like
that's
unusual. I bet you I've blacked out in my entire life 500 times.
Okay.
Oh man,
something was wrong with your brain before then. Because, no, I'm serious. It's unusual.
I wonder if I drink, but I'm not an alcoholic. But I wonder if you ever went to an AA meeting, if you would have a lot of things in common with these folks, and you're already choosing not to drink.
I thought about going to AA, but strictly to pick up girls. Is that wrong?
Well, I think you could. No, but I think you'd be very successful.
I want you to go there just so that you can say. Blacked out $500. I want some guy in the back, a sailor with a tattoo and glass eyes, like, pussy, I blacked out every day for 46 years. I want that guy to put you in your place.
Okay, oh, and he would.
I want to play some Shotgun Story Worthy, but real quick, I wanted to say, regarding you did the hot dogs in the dryer, when I was not in college, a little bit out of college, I had a dishwasher, but I didn't have a washer dryer. So one time I thought, this is smart.
You were sober.
I'm going to. Yeah, I was sober. Yeah, that is so true. I put my underwear in the dishwasher because I thought I'll just wash my underwear because that's really all I need to wash. I was.
How much weed did you smoke before you did that?
After, during.
No, but I was living in a ski resort. So you don't wash those clothes all the time. Do you know what I mean? You don't wash sweaters and jeans like that. So I really just needed to wash underwear. And so I did a load of panties.
Yeah, that's what sinks are for.
I did a load of panties. And you know what happened? There was some other dishes in there.
All your mugs turned lesbian?
There were plates with like toast on them.
Now, so is this too vulgar? Wait, these were not period panties.
No,
were they?
Okay. But I got crumbs in my underwear.
Yeah, that's where we're crossing the line.
When I took them out, there were crumbs.
Crumbs in your underwear.
In the panty.
They made them edible panties.
Yeah, literally.
It didn't work. That's my point. It didn't work. Hey, you want to play some Shotgun Story Worthy?
Sure. Although I have been abstaining from shotgunning things, so I don't know if I can play this just yet.
It can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
California. My first trip to California was when I was living in... I lived in Las Vegas. I was actually a high school teacher, I haven't mentioned, for a year right out of college. Yeah, I was teaching the youth of our country. You wonder why the test scores suck because of me. So anyway, I came out here to visit some friends, and I was down at Hermosa Beach, and I met this woman. She was 20 years older than me. And I had a thing for MILFs for a while, and we hooked up. And we were having anal sex. I'm just going to say it, guys. And she pooped on me. And that was my first trip to California.
Yay!
That's the most California. Wow. Now, most people feel like that happened to them, but it's just them driving on the 405. It's the same thing as being pooped on by a stranger.
About a woman. But that wasn't purposeful. I think it was because of that area.
She said it can happen. And I was like, how many dudes have you shat on? Like, what do you mean it can happen?
Well, I think I heard somebody once told me that if there's not a little poop in the bed, then you weren't doing sex right.
Never have I ever heard that.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, right, yeah, but I don't think you're allowed to have anal sex with a woman then be like, how dare you? You know who I am? I'm the Marquis de Queensberry, and you have shat upon my penis. It's like you stuck your dick in her ass.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Wow. So,
I have, I went too far. Sure.
I haven't gone down there since. So
yeah. Really? So the one time.
That was a one and done deal.
Yeah, okay. I see.
No, I mean, I understand your concept, but it's like.
Are you a big fan of Tinder?
Here's the thing on Tinder. I was such a whore when I got on it like a year ago, but suddenly girls have hijacked it to try to think that they're going to find husbands on it. So I use it more for jokes. I do something called on YouTube called Tinder translations, mm-hmm. where I put up girls' Tinder profiles and translate to what they really mean.
I see. Yeah. So give me an example
of.
In other words, a Tinder profile might say, so I like walks on the beach.
So, well, first of all, girls, my podcast partner and I, Joe, have talked about this. Girls list everything they like. Walks on the beach, dogs, books. They list
right. Sushi, everybody
pasta, likes those
right.
things.
Right.
But my big pet peeve right now is so many girls say, if you're looking for a hookup, I'm not your type. And my thing is, then you're no fucking guy's type. This is an app on my phone.
Yeah.
This is a free app. This is right. not a dating website. This is what I look at when I'm taking a shit.
Right.
No guy is trying to take this serious. So it just amazes me.
There are so many sites now that you can be more specific. If you really want to date, then I think you need to be on like Match.com or OkCupid. But if you just want to hook up, that's the Tinder
yeah,
site.
It's a paid site.
That's Christian Mingle.
It's kind of like somebody going to a club down in Wilshire Boulevard, and it's like, you know, I'm not here to get laid. Yeah, I'm here to meet a husband. You have come to the wrong place.
Right. Exactly. You walk it is the same thing.
Could you turn the music down? No, yeah, you're like, excuse you came me. Here.
I'm trying to have a conversation. That was always me if I'd be dragged to a club.
I mean, girls.
Like, I'm trying to, because the only way I could ever get a girl is my clever conversation. So if you can't hear me, I'm done.
So if
my
you're
looks
on
weren't going
to
do it for you.
And you hook up with a person, are you expecting to have sex that night?
When I first got on, it was happening the first night all the time.
Okay.
Look
at Maria shaking her head.
But you got, because you have to remember, Tinder's based off Grindr, which was, you know,
the gay version. Site.
The yes. gay. So it's based off, and we all know gay dudes have sex all the time. So it's based off that.
Yeah.
So when I first got on, yeah, but now I haven't gone on that many Tinder dates. Because after the injury, I just didn't care about sex at all for like 3 months. And I was peer pressured by my podcast partner to like, dude, you gotta have sex again. Like,
yeah.
Like it was so.
It's, who was that lucky lady?
She was a Tinder girl. And you know what's funny? I was worried that, because when you start telling girls you can't drink, then it turns into, oh, does this guy have a problem? And I told her over text, I didn't know how I was gonna handle it, that I couldn't drink. And she was the first ever Tinder girl that just straight up, oh, that's fine, we can watch a movie, aka have sex. She just invited me over to her house that night.
Wow, yeah.
Where in the past it would have been like, we would have had to done the whole charade of, let's meet at the bar, have a few drinks, then have sex. Now it was like, oh, he can't drink? Let's just cut to the chase, essentially.
Well, I know, but I like the dance of having the drink at the bar.
I know, because you're a girl.
Yeah, that's what exactly. That's what women want. You want to put on.
I should be a lesbian.
Why? Why do you say that?
Well, because maybe that's what I need. Somebody
else
wants to do that.
I think, and of course, I'm not an expert in lesbians, but you know how he was saying gay men, and remember we had Kevin Allison
just
on talking about
sex,
the sex
all the
maze.
Time, of course.
He went to a sex maze in
I mean, that's amazing.
And yeah, I said to Christine, if women were out of the picture, this is how men have sex. They just wander around.
No, I get
women,
it.
Lesbians, I assume, are twice as much work in a relationship.
Yeah.
You're not just talking, you know, it's not like the guy's listening to the girl talking about her feelings and pretending to be interested. Now both people in the bed are talking about their feelings and it's going on for hours.
How is it though going out without drinking?
You know what? I'll tell you what. This is where my family is so completely wrong. Everybody wanted me to come home for a few months and, you know, you're going to need to be home. LA is probably the best spot because so many people are health conscious. And in this city, they don't really blink an eye if I'm out at the bar and saying I'll drink. Well, I was just in University of Texas. That was the first time in the last 7 months that I actually had a desire to drink because we just did a show. We booked it through a fraternity and it was booked at a bar and it was packed and the show goes well. And it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's a blast.
Let's go out afterwards. We're going to take these guys to the bars and they want to shove, you know, drinks down your throat. But these guys were cool. What I've realized is it's a lot different than being like, I can't drink, is that a problem? to say I can't drink out of brain injury, that's when people usually back off.
Yeah.
But
then say it. Then say that. That's good.
And
it's
I do.
Honest.
But what I have learned is my patience is so much lower. It was already pretty low, but like the girls, let's say in the past that I would put up with to drink so I would have sex with them, that's not even an option anymore.
Yeah.
Like I'm just, you annoy me.
Yeah.
I just can't talk
to you. You can see through it so quickly. You see that it's just a facade.
Can I also say from my lofty perch of elderliness that that's not just the drinking. That's just you're 32.
Yeah.
And you realize, you know, when you're 18, you will put up with anything for sex.
Sure.
And when you're 32, you're like, is listening to this conversation really worth the 10 seconds of my life?
It's so true.
10 seconds? Really, honey?
I'm kidding. It's at least 12 or 15 seconds.
I mean, that's, I think, where the real problem is.
No, what I'm saying is...
Hottest like two pump chump.
That's right.
Hey, let me ask you one more question.
Oh, wait.
Do you really love sports or do you just follow it for the show?
I love sports.
You do all sports.
Yeah. So what is your, is Cincinnati based teams? Are those all your favorites?
Yeah, but the Cincinnati Bengals, it's a whole discussion on them. I'm a diehard Reds fan. Like one of my best memories, you know, that I'll take to the grave is going to the 1990 World Series as a 9-year-old.
Oh, wow. That's a big deal.
With my dad, because my dad, you know, grew up very blue collared and you know, very tough with saying like, I love you. But like, so like, We don't really have that type of relationship, but that's like such a great memory of going to a game with just me and my dad.
That's nice.
And it's a sports related memory. So like, you know, I can get emotional just thinking about it.
Oh, that's sweet.
Exactly. Yeah. It's funny. There's a guy I work with who it's just like a big Bengals fan. He's always like, who dat or who day going to beat them? Bengals? That's like, shut the, and I'm like,
tell them everyone. Cause they suck.
Yeah. They suck. First of all, they've been sucking for years. They happen to not quite suck so much this year.
Exactly.
That 1 year where you haven't done anything yet doesn't mean anything. Also, it's like I was like, wait, didn't you guys steal that from the Who Dat Gonna Beat Them Saints? And he's like, no, Who Day Bengals was before the Who Day Saints. And I'm like, why did I even open my mouth? I don't give a shit about it.
Hey, man, thank you so much for coming by Storyworthy.
Thank
today,
you.
Telling your
story. I appreciate it.
Super fun. So dirtysports.com. And then what's the Twitter for Dirty Sports?
It's at the Dirty Sports.
Okay, at the.
Are the people
the,
trying to pretend to be
at
Dirty Sports?
At thedirtysports.com. And then also on Twitter, we can find you at Andy Ruther.
Correct.
Excellent. All right, man. Thank you again. Really.
Well, thank you. I appreciate coming on in, guys.
Yes,
and
thank
I want
you.
To thank everybody here at Sideshow Network for helping us out today, including Maria Spertolozzi, and of course, Sean Merrick and Roddy Swearingen, and of course, John Thomas Griffith. You know, he's the guy, Hannes, who wrote our theme song.
Yes, he
Follow
sent me,
me
a dick pic.
That is not true. And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Andy Ruther, and you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.